Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Barratt's Trading Update Analyst Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Thomas. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for dialing in. Neil Cooper, our CFO, is with me. Today, we have issued our trading update for the year ended 30th of June. It has been a very good financial and operational year for us. We have driven controlled growth in completions, significant profit improvements, and all with a strong focus on quality and service. We were awarded 79 NHBC Pride in the Job Awards, more than any other house builder for the 12th year in a row. We achieved our five-star HBF customer recommend rating for the seventh consecutive year. More generally, it is too early to say what the outcome of the current uncertainty facing the U.K. will be. However, we are operationally and financially strong with an experienced management team. We understand the actions that we can take, and we will continue to monitor the market closely. Now, looking back at the year as a whole, we have seen controlled volume growth with completions up 5%. Our profit before tax is up by 20% to 680 million. Our net cash position at the 30th of June has increased to around 590 million pounds. Our return on capital employed is up around 3 percentage points to 27%. To give some more color on the numbers, the national market has remained strong throughout the financial year, and we have seen an increase in completions to 17,300, of which around 1,400 were through our joint ventures. These are primarily in London, but also in the regional business. Our sales rate for the year increased by 8% to 0.69. Our average selling price on total completions was up by over 10% to 260,000. With private ASP also up by over 10% to 290,000. This increase was predominantly mix related. We have been working hard on smoothing the group's build profile, and we're very pleased with the delivery from our build program during the year. On joint ventures, we have performed well with our share of profits from joint ventures at around 72 million. As a result of this, as well as our increase in completion volumes and strong ASP growth, we have achieved a record level of profit for the group. The government continues to be very supportive of the house building industry, with Help to Buy running until 2021. In FY 2016, 95% of our private completions, including joint ventures, had a selling price below 600,000. We expect this to be around 93% in FY 2017, reflecting our forecast London site mix. Land market conditions in the year remained attractive, and we identified excellent opportunities that meet or exceed our hurdle rates. We approved for purchase over 24,000 plots of operational land in the year, and also made good progress in securing a longer-term pipeline of land through strategic options. In terms of the balance sheet, as at the 30th of June, we had a net cash balance of around 590 million. This is ahead of guidance, in part reflecting the increased level of completions and the timing of land payments. We continue to secure attractive payment terms on land, and land creditors, as at the 30th of June, were 38% of the owned land bank. We are very pleased with our performance on return on capital employed at 27%. This is our highest level of return on capital employed for 10 years. It reflects progress we have made in the transformation of the land bank, running down our lower margin legacy assets, and also benefits from the disposal of non-core assets, such as the majority of our equity share portfolio. We have a strong forward order book with total forward sales at $1.76 billion. Our wholly owned forward sales now stands at $1.6 billion, 19% higher than the same time last year. We will be reporting again in September, where we will update on current trading. Although the reality is that July and August are quieter months, in line with normal seasonal trends. We will continue to monitor the market closely. The sector benefits from good government support, with Help to Buy, an undersupply of new homes, and a mortgage market that is very willing to lend. Thank you, and we'll now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we will take an opening question from Ainsley Lamin of Canaccord. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, morning. Just wondered if you could give any comments on recent cancellation rates and kind of buyer interest. I know you say you update the market in September. Just any colour you can provide there would be quite useful. And then just on the land spend, you said you've increased your hurdle rates or reassessing kind of land approvals. What your intentions are actually in terms of, you know, the absolute level of land spend for next year, and what your kind of intentions are also for site numbers for financial year 17. Thanks.
Okay, Ainsley, hi, good morning, thank you. Okay, so, I mean, just in terms of current trading, I mean, I think we've touched on it in the statement, and I've touched on it this morning. I mean, we're not going to provide any colour or any information regarding current trading. I think the reality is that we just think it is not appropriate that with such a short trading period, we start to provide granular information over a period of days. So we're set to come back to the market in September, and then we'll provide an update over that period of time.
Sure. Just on that, I mean, have you seen any change in cancellation rates, and particularly have you split that between London and outside of London?
No. We, as I said, Ainsley, we're not going to provide any colour. We just don't think it's appropriate. You know, people are going to go off and project the next 5 years based on 10 days trading. So, no, we're not going to get drawn on it at all.
Okay.
In terms of, moving on in terms of the sort of outlook and guidance. I mean, first of all, you know, as again would normally be the case, we would come back with our full year results in September, and as you know, we would typically provide guidance through a whole range of measures in terms of, from completion volumes through to interest cost. Whilst we recognise that there is presently uncertainty or more uncertainty than normal in the market, I think when you look at areas like land spend and site numbers, I mean, we've said on land spend typically that our land spend is somewhere in the order of £1 billion of cash spend. And we've also said that in terms of site numbers, you know, we see that we can grow site numbers, that we have been approving land over the last 12 months that would allow us to grow site numbers, and that we would typically see that growth in site numbers could be in the order of 3 to 5%. In terms of us looking at you know, saying that we're reassessing land. Well, I think it's clear that for us, our biggest single cash outflow relates to land. And therefore, it's appropriate that where there's more uncertainty in the market, that we should go back and reassess our land approvals and our future land commitments. And that is just simply going to be a week-to-week, month-to-month process, depending on what we are seeing in the market.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Ainsley.
We will take our next question from Andy Murphy of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning. Thanks for taking the call. I was just had a couple of questions. I guess I Ainsley stole one of my questions. In terms of where they're at and the uncertainty that you're seeing, to what extent do you think the government would make any further changes either to Help to Buy or to any other any other activity or incentive if, you know, if the market began to slow significantly? That's my first question. And then the second question was really around the land that you've bought. You've significantly increased the number of plots for purchase this year from 17 to 24,000. But the cost that hasn't risen by quite as much. I was wondering if you could explain why the increase in volumes is so much and why the implied price is so low. Is that a geographical thing or is there something else going on there?
Okay. Andy, hi. Good morning. Okay. I mean, I think in terms of the government position, I mean, my starting point would be to say that we recognise that government support for the housing market over the last few years has been very significant. So there have been three main stems of that support. First of all, Help to Buy, as you know, now extended through to 2021, and more recently the 40% Help to Buy scheme coming into London. Secondly, the government land release programme with a commitment for a further 160,000 plots by 2020. And we see that there is real momentum in terms of the government land release programme. And thirdly, the improvements to the planning system, where we are seeing that there are improvements to planning if you look at it over a 3 to 5 year period compared to where we were going back 3 to 5 years ago. The government clearly have set out that housing is a central part of their strategy, and it was reported by government rather than by the house builders that Greg Clark, as Secretary of State for CLG, had requested a meeting with the HBF and the house builders going back some 10 days ago. So I think that gives an indication of how important the government see housing as being. And more recently this week, we saw Theresa May make a statement on Monday where housing was set out as one of her key matters to be addressed, particularly with regard to housing numbers. So I don't think we are, as house builders, are putting any request to government per se. I think that we recognise the strong support and government will choose the actions that they consider to be appropriate. In terms of land intake, I mean, we've signalled during the year that we were increasing our land intake, and we provided guidance, I think, three times on our land intake and indicated that we were gradually increasing land intake up to the level, as you said, at around 24,000 plots. There's nothing, I think, unusual happening in terms of land intake. I think that we flagged earlier in the year that we had a couple of large sites that were coming in from our strategic portfolio. We obviously continue to acquire government land. And the final part is that we did say in May that although we were still bidding on London land, the example we gave in May was that we had not concluded on a London site, Zone 1 site, since September 14. So that is clearly affecting the underlying land cost, because we're less skewed into the London market in the last 12 months than we were going back, say, 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Andy.
We will take our next question from Gavin Jago of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, David. Morning, Neil.
Morning.
A couple if I could, please. The first one is just on the year just gone, just on Help to Buy. Can you give us a feel for kind of the percentage of Help to Buy that's been used in the regions and what was used within your London division? Obviously, Help to Buy London, the 40% kind of kicked in February, but what sort of trends you've seen up until the end of June? And the second one is just if you can give us any guidance on what happened for the margin in full year 16, and obviously it looks like the JV number was ahead of the guidance you gave earlier in the year. Can you give us a bit of a feel for kind of if there were a couple of chunky sales in there and what the margin was for the full year? That would be useful. Thank you.
Okay, so I think Neil will talk to you in terms of Help to Buy. If I just touch on margin, I mean, first of all, in terms of the joint venture position, we had a significant over-delivery in terms of Enderby Wharf, as an example, so one of our London joint venture sites, where there was a significant over-delivery. And you see in the joint venture numbers that we've got completion volumes up at around 1,400. Compared to the original guidance that was round about 1,000. So Enderby Wharf, one of the things we did was we undertook a bulk deal, which we signed back in 2015, but we've started to deliver against that bulk deal. And that allowed us to over-deliver on the joint venture profits. In terms of margins overall, I mean, we obviously have all the margin data, and we'll provide all of that margin data when we do the full update in September, when we do full year results. So we've clearly seen progression in terms of margin, and we'll break down gross margin and operating margin in September.
Gavin, in terms of the Help to Buy usage, around 32% of our completions in our wholly owned completions used Help to Buy this year versus around 31% last year. So at face value, a similar mix. What I would say is we have seen a step up in London in the second half of Help to Buy. We did around 25% of our reservations using Help to Buy in London in H1, but that has gone up to about 40% in H2. So you can see a big benefit arising at the below the qualifying price level in London as a result of the increase in the percentage from 20 to 40%.
Okay, that's useful. Many thanks indeed.
Okay, thanks, Gavin.
We will take our next question from Charlie Campbell of Liberum. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Yeah, a couple of questions. You've talked about sort of going back and revisiting land appraisals. Is the same sort of exercise being carried out in terms of construction contracts and trying to get those sort of rebid? I was thinking especially in London, where sort of competition for labour with sort of commercial slowing might be more pronounced. And then in terms of the forward sales position, 25% forward sales on the private units, are you prepared to see that kind of that forward order position sort of fall during the year, or do you think that 25% is the right sort of level and you'd sort of seek to defend that through the year? Just sort of trying to think about sort of the tactics of build rates through 2017.
Okay, Charlie, hi. I mean, in terms of land, and I'm saying that we're sort of reassessing it, I mean, I think that's understandable that we should go back and look at all of our land approvals and just look at that whilst we monitor the market. I think in the same way as building, I think you're right, you know, to highlight London. As we've got towers that are, if towers are due to come up to be tendered, I mean, we will obviously look at that carefully in terms of future tenders, I mean, where we're already in contract for build, that's a slightly different position. I think overall in terms of build, I mean, we're always seeking to match our build rates against our sales rates, particularly in the regional marketplace, and therefore we will just continue to look to match it in that way.
But sorry, could I just push you a bit further on that? I mean, it's all very hypothetical, isn't it? But if we were in a world where we saw, you know, slowing conditions, and you felt that those, you know, that slowing was a temporary phenomenon, do you not think there's an argument for sort of letting that forward sold position unwind a bit and building a bit faster than you sell? Or do you think you'd continue to take a sort of the prudent approach and, as you say, sort of match build to sale?
I think still matching build to sale, I think is generally going to get you to the right answer. So I think that's what we would tend to continue to do.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We will take our next question from Will Jones of Redburn. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Morning. Just three, if I could. The first, really around the balance sheet, just whether you could update us on what the average debt was, please, for the year finished. I think you talked about 250 in May. Maybe it wasn't that different from that, but obviously in the context of the better year-end cash. And linked to that cash position, am I right in inferring that the land creditor balance probably isn't any greater than, say, 1.1 billion, somewhere between 1 and 1.1 billion, and therefore, if there's a difference, maybe you can just give us any kind of indications elsewhere in the balance sheet, things like work in progress, did that come down full year versus half year? Is there anything around the joint venture dividends to bear in mind? I appreciate detail in September, but it's obviously quite a difference versus your guidance, so any further help there would be great. Sorry, that actually was just one question. Second was just around conditional land, your 1.1 years. Can you just remind us exactly what you mean by conditional in terms of the extent to which you have flex on either the timing of those or the terms, if you so chose? And the last one is just around order book gross margins, whether there's any uptick in the order book gross margin versus, say, where you delivered in the second half P&L, or whether they're pretty similar now. Thanks.
Okay, Will, hi. So if I cover on the conditional land and the order book gross margin, and if Neil just talks to average net debt and where we are in terms of land creditors and so on. So in terms of conditional land, I mean, generally the conditionality relates to planning. I mean, we will occasionally have conditionality relating to vacant possession and so on, but generally relating to planning.
Yeah.
It varies, so I think you'll find that on all conditional land contracts there will be variation to the extent that the timing and the acceptability of the planning and the extent to which that is controlled by the landowner or controlled by the land purchaser. But
yeah,
clearly, but by definition, there is conditionality on the contract. And as a minimum, they can generally be delayed, but not always be in a situation that it's entirely conditional.
Yeah.
In terms of the forward order book, I mean, well, we've always steered away from any guidance in terms of the gross margin on the forward order book.
Yeah.
Whilst I would accept in the regional market, it may be a reasonable proxy, in the London market, it's very much skewed by individual developments. So what we've said on land intake, all other things being equal, is that we have been able to nudge forward our margins over the last couple of years on land intake, and that's continued to be the situation in FY16 for the approvals that we've made during the course of the year.
Yeah, okay.
Well, just in terms of some of those key balance sheet metrics, in terms of the average net debt, I'll get you the exact number after the call, but broadly it is going to be lower than the previous number we guided. But of course, our over delivery on cash is largely a last month of the year, so it's not going to drop by that much, but I will get you the exact number after the meeting. In terms of work in progress, I mean, as you would, I think, typically expect, the December year-end position is going to be slightly higher than the the December half year position is going to be slightly higher than the June position, which was indeed as we saw this year. So versus the year end position last June, we were at about 1.287 million and we're at about 1.340 now. The December year end was 1.448 in terms of absolute balance sheet width. So you can see we're sort of climbing from the year end position to half year and then back down again.
Yeah, got you. Thank you. And nothing kind of strange around the GAV movements in the balance sheet in terms of dividends or money?
Nothing unusual in terms of the natural cycle of the cash flow and the assets.
Yeah. Thank you.
We will take our next question from Clyde Lewis of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, David. Morning, Neil. And I suspect the Abby's there as well. So morning, all. Three, if I may. I know you're not going to say anything about post-Brexit, but in May and June, did you see any material differences in regional trading or price movements at all across the business? The first one. Second one was on the pattern of site openings that you've got coming through over the next, I suppose, 3 to 6 months in particular. Is that materially different from a year ago? Again, so when we start to think about what's happening, what's coming down the pipe, you are ahead or behind or pretty much in line with some new sites. And the third one I had was on incentives. Have you given the sales team any new instructions as to their flexibility on incentives at all since the end of the year?
Okay, Clyde, hi. So just in terms of on the site openings, Neil just talked through on site openings. In terms of incentives, I mean, whilst, you know, I'm saying, well, we won't comment in terms of post-Brexit, I mean, I can comment on that to say that the answer is no. I mean, we have said to our sales teams, I met with our sales directors last week, and we've said to our sales teams, look, it's business as usual. There is no change to the market. The banks are very willing to lend. The consumer offer is very attractive. And we have to deliver a business as usual message. In terms of the pre-referendum position, when we came out to market in May, we said that, you know, we had seen no impact in relation to our trading in relation to the referendum. And I think when you look at it in the round up to June, given the way that we delivered in terms of slightly ahead of guidance on completions, probably pretty much where we expected to be on profit and well ahead on cash, I think that just endorses it, that there was no real change. The only market area that we had been flagging as being a challenging area was high-end London. And that, you know, that has just continued to be a challenging area all the way through to the end of June.
Just in terms of site openings, I mean, as Ed said earlier, on an average basis, we are expecting to see disciplined growth in outlet numbers in fiscal 17. Underpinning that will obviously be new site openings. And we've got what I would regard as a fairly normal pattern of site openings through the year. So to that extent, we will have a first half opening schedule that will be similar to the prior year.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Clyde.
We will take our next question from Chris Billington of Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning. Just got two, actually. One with kind of two parts, and it's on the order book. First part of it is, I was just wondering if you could tell us what proportion of the order book is exchanged, i.e. has kind of gone through to secured contracts. The second one's just really around the JV order book. And you did make reference to Enderbury Wharf before, but I'm just wondering if there's any other kind of explanation behind the quite sizable move in that order book position for the JVs. And the final one I've got really is just to ask about exposure to London in terms of capital employed and whether that's going to kind of differ materially in the kind of year ahead or beyond.
Okay, so Just in terms of the forward order book and the JV forward order book, I think if Neil will cover both of those. Just in terms of London and capital employed, I mean, so just to take that third question, Chris, I mean, I think the first thing is that you've got to bear in mind in London that we've got the joint venture and the non-joint venture business. So on the non-joint venture business, then year on year, I don't think we'd expect to see any significant change in terms of the capital employed position. We've obviously got sites that are closing and sites that are opening, but nothing really significant on the exposure. In terms of the joint venture position, we've sort of generally guided that investment in joint ventures could be, you know, 25 to 50 million, that sort of order. Now, part of it will depend on what cash flows back from the joint ventures, and that's obviously very much to do with the timing of completions. But I think, you know, to be expecting an increased investment in joint ventures in that order, I think is probably reasonable.
Got you.
Yeah, just in terms of the forward order book, I mean, our percentage of the value of the forward order book that's contracted is broadly similar this year to last, and it's around 2/3.
Got you. And just on the JV, I mean, were there any other kind of funny moves on the order book other than the Enderbury Wharf, and there may have been a Nine Elms completion going through there? I'm just trying to understand the size of the move there.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the JV forward order book, I think, as we've already alluded to, because we had more JV sites opening in 15 and, you know, with some bulk sales, they will have been in the forward order book coming into this year, and they've now completed, which is one of the reasons why we've had a strong JV completions number this year. But obviously we can only sell those units once. And if you look at the number of JV outlets, we entered this year with 16 and we're exiting the year with 11. So that is in part why you've seen this slug of reservations we took on in 15. Our sites opened that have now been completed, and the site numbers have fallen. We're not in a position to repeat those. Enderby is clearly one. You know, we have some other large London sites where, to a lesser degree, we've seen this.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
We will take our next question from Mark Howson of HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, chaps. Actually, just the last question was dealing with most of what I was thinking. So the site numbers open in London, the JV at the start, and what they were ending at made sense. I think probably you might want to throw in there, I guess, Landmark Place has been delayed because of architectural, you know, sort of things you found from the Roman era, sort of the delayed sales on that site as well, probably had some effect. Is that fair?
Well, it's right that Landmark Place has been delayed. So just by way of background, Landmark Place is quite literally two buildings along from the Tower of London facing onto the Thames. So it's a significant site. We have around 160 private completions on that site. However, the delay has not affected reservations and therefore forward order book, or it's not affected completions, because Landmark Place will not start to complete until we run through into FY18. It's not a joint venture site. I mean, it's an owned site with a small minority interest, but there is a delay of probably around 5 months in terms of the archaeological works that's been done in relation to our particularly a Roman wall.
Yeah, could you possibly give us a feel for how many units you have left to sell and in the future pipeline, over £1,000 a square foot in London left to sell? I mean, I appreciate the number of sites has gone down. You haven't bought anything in Zone 1, you said, since September 14, but can you give us a feel for how many they're left?
Well, look, I think rather than kind of guessing at numbers, I mean, we We provided information in the February results announcement regarding product at different price points and also the composition of the land bank, and I'm sure we'll update that again in September. When you look at our delivery for FY17, so the near term, which I would suggest that we're probably mainly focused on the near term, we're saying in overall terms we would anticipate about 7% of our delivery will be above at prices above £600,000. More importantly, 93% of it will be at prices below £600,000.
Okay, look, thanks. Well, I shall wait to see what you say in September. Thank you.
Okay.
We will take our next question from Kevin Kamak of Cenkos. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Morning, gents. Sorry to labour London. But could you just... You've commented on the £72 million contribution JVs coming in ahead and the explanation for that. By the same token, I mean, if that's essentially pull through, does the current year JV number drop below your previous guidance on a pro rata basis? First question. Second one, again, related to the JVs. Could you just comment on the robustness of your partners in relation to some of the bigger schemes going forward? And then lastly, I'd just like to come back on an earlier question that was asked in relation to to margins in the core business in the year. We've obviously talked about the higher JV profit contribution, but if you sit that aside, the guidance has been beaten on volume, and I can only speak for myself, but the ASP looks as if it's come in, you know, slightly higher than perhaps we were thinking at the halfway stage, which would imply somewhere along the line that margins, you know, haven't maybe quite performed at the level that was anticipated to leave you back at that 680 sort of consensus-ish number. Is there anything within the mix of events that you would highlight at this stage without going into specific detail on the margin numbers themselves?
Okay. Kevin, maybe if we pick through those. I mean, if I start off in terms of just the JV contributions and our JV partners, and then Neil could perhaps comment in terms of margins. So just in terms of joint ventures, I mean, we had formal guidance in the market for FY17 at £60 million of profit on joint ventures. And I think that, for FY16 at £60 million, and I think when asked the question, we'd always said that we saw FY16 and FY17 as being big years of delivery, and that we were perhaps looking for something similar in terms of FY17.
Yeah.
So my sense would be that when you look at the acceleration of units that we've seen from Enderby, and to some extent from Nine Elms from the bulk deals, then we may see something slightly lower in terms of the contribution for FY17. Obviously, more to follow on that in September. In terms of the joint venture partners, then I think without going through them in a public arena, I think it would be fair to say that our view of our joint venture partners is that they have very significant financial capability. I think it's been important for us in structuring the joint ventures to ensure that we have got partners on the other side that have got significant financial capability. So I think we're very comfortable with the status of our joint venture partners.
Just in terms of margin, I mean, it's firstly gross margin. Again, I mean, I'll preface my comments by saying, as this is a trading statement 10 days after the end of the year, or 11 or so days after the end of the year, you know, the level of detail we would typically give is not the same as you'd expect in a full year announcement. But moving on from that, I mean, I am expecting our gross margin to be broadly in line with 2015. And I'm expecting the second half gross margin to be slightly ahead of the gross margin we delivered in the first half. As you'll recall, our guidance is to achieve a 20% gross margin in FY17 as opposed to FY16. So to that extent, you know, coming in slightly below 20 shouldn't be something that would be seen as not hitting a target that we put into the marketplace. Equally, I would say that I'm expecting our operating margin to be ahead of last year because we're benefiting from the greater volume that's going through the operation, and so there's some leverage benefit on overheads.
Yeah. Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Kevin, thank you.
As we have no further questions, I would like to turn the call back to David Thomas for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, just to say thanks to everyone for your questions. I mean, we see that it's been another excellent year of progress for the group, and thanks for dialing in.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.